All right. Using the internet content that everyone loves to see, cat videos, we're going to play USL League One, You Make the Call. Adam, what's the call here as we watch the video?
So what this is, in case you're wondering, this is one of those situations where a player gets knocked down. The ref is going to have to make a decision on whether or not it's a card. And I believe this is the side view that the assistant referee had. The ref was not in quite the same angle. So this is what it looked like. All right. And so based off of USL League One refereeing, what do you think the decision that they came together and made was?
Okay. So League One, it is straight red for the black cat. And then as the black cat's teammates all crowd around it, the head referee goes to the assistant ref, who then says, I don't know, words. There's all sorts of talking. There's like three or four other instances of cats pushing each other. And then the red card is taken off and the yellow cat is given a yellow card for simulation.
Yep. Okay. So you think that's what actually happened if the USL refs were involved?
Yes, that is USL League One cat soccer.
See, I disagree. I think what actually happened was originally the yellow cat was given the yellow for simulation. He jumped up and argued after rolling a few times, and the assistant referee helped out and said, no, that black cat totally hit him in the face. That's a red card. You're out of here. Because let's be honest, they're not going to get it right.
Soccer chat with two T's, because we're going to chat about soccer, but we're also in Chattanooga, so it's like a play on words. And you know, Chattanooga is a soccer city.
All right, everyone,
we're here.
Welcome to Soccer Chat season 3, episode 17.
You're so bad at this. So and you're the social media focused guy. Like, you're the one who puts out all of our announcements that have the episode number on them. Just saying.
Interesting.
Reading is fundamental.
They're working on the water pipes outside my house, and there's all sorts of weird noises being made. I think my house might be haunted. So, Tuesday was awesome.
Yeah, you think? I mean, that's like the dream scenario, right?
Red Wolves head to North Carolina. First time in Cary, North Carolina, playing NCFC. And start to finish domination by the Red Wolves. They win 4-1. Do you have goal clips?
I do. Let's jump right in. And it starts off early, so let's jump in early into our broadcast. Here's the first goal of
Great
the game.
Great to be here. I always say, Austin, we got the best seat in the house right here on the perch. Oh, no, it's on, and it's in. Chattanooga has scored. The flag stays down.
I'm going to let this keep going because they follow up with a really good replay.
They're one of the best teams
showing
in USL
why
League One.
Oh, I think I'm lying.
Comes for
I'm going to show it.
Right here.
This part right here is what makes the goal.
Hey, Austin, we got the best seat in the house right here on the.
Just beautiful. Ricky Ruiz with that original first assist. That's a perfect assist.
So there we are. 13th minute. I believe by this time when we were playing North Carolina in Chattanooga, we were down 1-0 and a little worried. But they came in and the attacking players, Ricky Ruiz, Marky Hernandez, Rafa Mensigan, Jackson Dietrich, they all really seemed to be firing on all cylinders. And it's kind of the start that we wanted after having 2 points ripped from us to come out and establish themselves against a team that, you know, honestly is at the bottom of the table. It's a team we need to you know, dominate if we're going to dominate anyone in the league. So we get that first goal.
And then not long after, we get this. Ricky again.
Sent back across and in. What a ball. And Dietrich is there.
So my question to you is this. Did North Carolina forget to send defenders to this game? Because I'm going to come back super quick here. How does he get from here where there are literally four guys that are kind of able to close him out and just kind of dribbles into the four of them in the middle? Like, what am I watching?
Well, even here you see they've got three guys in the box plus the keeper, and all of them kind of misjudge it and watch it go towards that back post where Jackson Dietrich lays himself out. I had put on social media here trying to get people to tell us what they thought their favorite goal was. The response I got overwhelmingly was this Jackson Dietrich slide. And the fact that he doesn't give up on it. How many times have we seen players just kind of watch that bounce and go out for a goal kick because they can't get to it? But Jackson Dietrich was hungry and is wanting to really establish himself with the team. And so he lays out and gets that foot and puts an excellent finish on the end of a Ricky Ruiz cross. That's his second assist in the first 20 minutes of the game. And yeah, he was alive and active and, you know, multiple times the rest of the game where Ricky Ruiz was in this pocket of space, you know, would receive a pass and burst into, you know, between defenders and just give them all sorts of fits. North Carolina had no answer for Ricky Ruiz in this match.
Agreed. And let's look at that slide one last time before we go to the third goal.
Sent back across and in.
It's exactly what you outlined. Like so many, so often they won't put out and slide for that. Absolutely perfect.
So congrats, Jackson Dietrich, now the all-time Dietrich scoring leader in Red Wolves history. You know, I see him through the rest of the season putting that mark beyond beyond reach for a while.
I mean, he's played really well, and we've talked about him deserving starts, and I think he followed through with a slightly shorthanded team and was integral to a lot of the play. And that brings us to our third goal.
70th minute, corner sent in. Diving out, it's a goal. It's another goal. Is it the sub, Galindrez again?
And the reason I say that brings us to another goal is this is so similar to the Dietrich goal in that if you look right around here, let me get to it. The ball gets kicked up, I think. Is that what that was?
It ricocheted off the back of a North Carolina player's head. One guy headed it off the back of another guy's head.
Okay.
But
I couldn't figure that out.
Three, four, five, six players in that box that all switch off as that ball is up in the air.
They all like watch it. They're like, oh, look, a ball. It's as if they got like they all had ADD and got distracted. And we're like, a ball's in the air. What do we do with that? And the king of the sub goal comes up and he's like, you kick it in the goal. That's what you do with that.
It's another goal. Is it the sub, Galindrez again?
I love that part. Is it the sub, Galindrez again? Yeah. Yeah, it is. Because no one else was paying attention.
And there was, you know, so there was about 50 minutes of game time between Jackson Dietrich scoring and Juan Galindrez. And, you know, there were some times where you wondered if we were going to, you know, have another situation where we had to grind out a game. North Carolina had a few times where they had possession. They put together some passes and we had to defend. We had to try to, you know, reestablish possession for ourselves and take control of the game back. But once we got that goal, then it really put us on a more comfortable spot. And the last 20 minutes was even more kind of offensive passing and finding space and was really exciting.
Well, the thing for me on that 50 minutes time frame is it could have very easily been 3-2 at that point, North Carolina. There was a missed wide open goal that went right, wide right and high.
Right.
There was the perfectly defended play where the ball hit him in the shoulder. And then there was also a play where they got free. And for whatever reason, the guy was just like, well, I want to dribble over here to the left instead of taking this shot from the middle of goal with no one in front of me, which fine with me, but I'm not sure if maybe he has no left foot and he was just trying to get a better position. I don't know. It was odd, and we very easily could have been down 3-2 instead of going up 3-0 there. And like you said, once we went up 3-0, we kind of settled in, and you know, that took us to the Justice for Jono goal, which looked like this.
Esparza. Wow, Chattanooga really looking clean. Playing the beautiful game beautifully right now. It is 4-0. Just absolutely wonderful soccer from Chattanooga.
So this is another situation where Ricky gets a ball and you're like, how does he have that much space? He's already assisted twice. He probably was involved in the other goal. He you know, takes a lot of the corners. And yeah, just look at that huge gap of space. I wish I had a telestrator to draw a gigantic circle in the middle of this screen. And is able to float that ball in, and you know, no one marks Jono at the back post.
Well, my question here is, what is the guy who is standing right at the top of the circle and he looks like he's looking at the ball? Like, what is he doing? Because watch him. He doesn't react.
Sparza.
He's like, oh, wow, Chattanooga, stay here. Looking clean. He does nothing. And he starts walking again.
Beautifully right now, it is 4-0.
Like number 14. Dude, this if you're the coach of North Carolina rewatching that film, I don't want to be number 14 in that film room. Like, cuz I'm not a coach. I don't pretend to have that skill set, but even I can see that and go, dude, we were down 3-0, but we could easily be 3-3 right now. We've had some good attacks. We're not completely technically out of this yet. And you're just shut down. You're not even attempting to play anymore. They're basically playing at best 11 on 10, but there's probably a couple other players that have shut it down too. I think it's probably closer to like 11 on 7 at that point. And what was even funnier to me was Jono seemed like he was confused. Like, no one seems upset. Like, was I offside? Like, he's almost like he was like, I must be offside. It's like, why are they all just like, oh, he gave up a fourth goal. I don't know if it's all because they're 12 years old. I don't know what it is, but none of those players on North Carolina seemed to give even the remotest care at all.
Well, the one teenager that they didn't have that I think they're kind of regretting that they didn't put in was, of course, goalkeeper Nick Holiday,
who, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what Alex was going to say. Oh, is he back?
I should be.
Hey! You disappeared for a while.
Sorry, I was getting a phone call. I get no phone calls until between the hours of 7 and 8 on Thursdays. So yeah, Nick Holiday stood on his head in Chattanooga, and they did.
He got another phone call. He claims he's not Mr. Popularity. I disagree, because he's always got phone calls coming in. So this is the point where I have to pretend like I'm able to carry a show on my own, and we all know that's not true. So instead of fully attempting that, I'm just going to sit here and act like I have the ability to cut this later, and I don't. Hey, look, he's back again. You know, there's this thing called Do Not Disturb on that phone.
Uh-huh.
All right, so
we get to the end of the game, very excited. Memes are flying through Twitter. Everyone's excited on the fan Slack chat. And then, unfortunately, we couldn't keep the clean sheet.
Nope.
Really professional performance on the road.
Here's Frame and how about North Carolina FC?
Yeah, a little bit of something positive to end the game here. The ball goes wide to Flores. Flores plays it across the box, and Cole Frame. Great work from the Busey Foundation.
Yeah, so that was ugly. To say the very least, that this is disappointing, because we thought we were finally going to get a clean sheet. But in all honesty, there's not anything Trilk could have done about that one.
No, I definitely don't put it on Trilk. It to me, it was kind of the defenders being up 4-0. Maybe had that 1 second where they kind of lost track of stuff. Up to that point, they had done a good job clearing things from the box and all of that. But you know, we come away with a 3-goal win, one of the best victories in Red Wolves history. If you look back, I mean, the only other time we've scored four goals was when we had a really big victory against New England last year. And a three goal victory helps our goal differential. If you look at the standings, we now, our goal differential is at a +8, which puts us just behind Union Omaha. And if you're looking at the standings, oh, look at that. If you look by points, we are in first place.
So I'm not going to do it. I refuse to suddenly act like points per game don't matter, because they do. And we are technically not in first place. I think consistency on that is important.
That's true.
Because I haven't been giving a lot of other teams credit when they're in that situation, but here's what it looks like. I'm going to share the screen here. I'm going to do my darndest to zoom in so we can actually see it. I'm not very good at sharing screens, but that's cool. Yeah. So there we are. We are sitting on top, 15 matches played, 28 points. They're at 14, 27. So they're just a little bit ahead of us on a points per game basis. Greenville sitting in third at 24 points, 16 games played, which means we've got a game in hand on them and we're up 4 points on them. That feels really good. No one can really catch us except for Union right now. And if Union Omaha manages to lose at Tucson, it would mean that our goal differential would have to be at least the same, and we would then be ahead in both points per game and at top of the standings. But I'll take where we're at right now.
So the whole reason that we're a game ahead of Chattanooga is Union Omaha had their game with Madison called off due to lightning, which makes no sense. I thought they had lights, and if you had lights, then no games ever get canceled. But the match was abandoned, and they're going to have to make that up later in the season. Snarky sarcasm aside, these things happen. It's not the only time that a game like that has had to be kind of rescheduled. So we'll have to see where that goes. But that does kind of leave things. And they're going to play Saturday. We're not going to play till next Tuesday.
Yeah, and I will say, as much as it's sarcasm, the fact is the game that we did have to end early because we didn't have lights, because we ran out of light last year, wouldn't have been played even with lights, because that lightning storm lasted till like 1 a.m. So even though that they were able to make those jokes about us, the fact is this exact thing would have happened last year versus us, even if we had the lights. That said, it was a lot of flooding there, and it's a good thing they play at such a nice baseball stadium, because the baseball stadiums are made to be able to get that water off the pitch. But even with that, hey, there's nothing they could do about it. All right.
So that's our North Carolina reactions. As we said, we've got Tuesday here at CHI Memorial. Game kicks off at 7 p.m. It'll be against North Texas. They are doing Taco Tuesday, introducing new Bang Bang Shrimp Tacos. Adam, are you a seafood guy?
Yeah, I love me some shrimp tacos. So, yeah. I'll take that.
Gonna be exciting. Also, $2 beer, and
I think you buried the lead. Did you not?
$2 beer.
Yeah, that's the big one. Is yeah. Just saying, like
that's how good those shrimp tacos look to me. Yes, $2 beer. That's awesome. To wash down those delicious shrimp tacos. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's some other taco truck if shrimp tacos happen to not be whole. Oh.
Yeah, I'm just going to scroll through these for your sake.
You know, the sad part is there's only two. Wolfman Jeff has always told us tacos should come in threes.
Which means you have to order three sets of them and spend $6, which is divisible by three.
Yeah. So that's good. It's actually a royal decree by King Timothy of the Kingdom of Meridies, which is the Kingdom of the South. So that's pretty legit.
So chat Red Wolves, King Timothy says tacos come in threes.
Man.
Since you're here, Jeff, we just finished talking about North Carolina. Can you give us a little synopsis, your thoughts What were your takeaways? What was your most exciting moment from that match?
You know what? It just kind of kept going. First of all, Marky, it's like a kid that finally got out of the house after being locked up for a year with COVID, and he's just flying out through there. He got the ball, and there was no way anyone was going to catch Marky just all the way in. That was awesome. I think the Dietrich slide should be one of the latest dance crazes. I do think that probably the goal would have been Ricky Ruiz, but Jonathan made sure it went in, but it felt good that Jonathan got the goal. The Galindres goal. You know what? There's just so many awesome things. Now, we had that one point where we let out, but honestly, my takeaway is the overall feeling that we can dominate. And that is my biggest takeaway.
All right. So we look at North Texas coming to town, and they are right now in the standings. They are sitting right around the playoff line, 5 wins, 4 draws, 4 losses. They actually have they have a positive goal differential, just barely, sitting at right around 1.5 points per game. So what do you know about North Texas? What do we see coming in? They are coming lately off of a 2-0 win against FC Tucson, and actually will be playing North Carolina is that Friday or is that Saturday? On Saturday.
Yeah, they're going to be coming in. So I'm not sure that's going to make them primed or ready to go. So I know we did well. I think I know we played at North Texas. Haven't they been at CHI already this year? I want to think that they have.
They have not. They will come back later in September.
Okay. I remember we ended up having a good game, which we were quite surprised because we usually didn't do very well in Arlington, which this actually we were in Frisco before. I remember being quite encouraged after that game. I'm trying to bring up stats, so someone else speak while my computer tries to catch up to my mind.
So my issue with North Texas is I feel like they're one of those teams that could sneak up on you, right? They've played 14 games, which means theoretically, if they win both games, let's say they win their next two games, which would include beating us, that would put them into third. And with playing the same amount of games as Greenville. So they are not a team to take lightly. They're one of those teams that I think, you know, just like Ford Madison sitting there at 19 points in 14 games as well, you know, they could get a good little run going as well. I mean, they played Tormenta on Saturday as Ford Madison. So those standings from third through sixth are by no means set in stone. And I think everyone, really, from even Tucson sitting at 16 points in 15 games could make it to sixth. So the only team that I really think has proven they're not in it at this point is North Carolina. So we have to take this North Texas team very seriously. And they have a history of coming on strong at the end of the season. And that's what worries me a little bit about them.
So one of the things that may be to our advantage is being on the road. I feel like they're less likely to drop MLS players down to travel with all of the different COVID protocols and things they've got to follow across both leagues. You know, and that used to be a thing that they would love to. They always loved bringing MLS guys against us and loading up the academy bus for other clubs. But I think what you're going to see is a lot of young guys in. I mean, the FC Dallas Academy, it's got tons of talent. It's got lots of players that they can put in. So that doesn't necessarily mean that they're a pushover. But I think it does help us that they're not necessarily going to be sending some MLS players down to get time if they're going to have to, you know, ride the bus out here to Chattanooga. Jeff, you're muted.
Jeff's just going off on mute. He's all about it.
Sorry, I'm having some problems getting the stuff open.
He was having a Ramos moment. He had to mute himself.
Well, I think my blood sugar is just low. But anyway, I'm trying to find the stats, and it looks like they may have changed some stuff on the USL League. And I was trying to find what their current stats are. Like I could, yeah. So I think the league changed since I was on here last. The table here it is. Okay, on attack. Yeah, it doesn't even list who their top scorers are now. It's just a team stat. Oh, here it is. Sorry, I'm a little slow. It's almost like I just got here at the last minute and I want to make a show of this. And you guys sat there and waited. So yeah, Rayo is leading. Oh, sorry, I should probably do this. I'll go ahead and share.
It might be time to go back to Soccer Cats. That's what I'm hearing.
You know, if you need to go to Soccer Cats, I would totally understand. So
give the people what they want.
Yeah, give them the Soccer Cats. So, yeah, what you're seeing here is these are the shots. Sorry, these are the where the goals. Oh, here with the goals. Kudzu, I'm going to call him, is actually Kudzu and Rayo. They only have four goals, so their leading goal scorers aren't covering that much ground. So it's, they're kind of spread out, but I have to say they don't really have, as far as for one, creating the goals that really stick out. And again, even on assist, it's a little more with Rayo and Jaquel for shots. Chances created, again, it's a very even team. So I really have difficulty finding out, you know, these are the specific people to look after.
Well, the one name that kept popping up on every one of those, Jeff, was Rayo.
Yeah.
And so I think, and obviously the other thing I'll point out is, and this is kind of goes to what Alex has talked about, look at all the people that that are on these lists that have one appearance, four appearances, five appearances, six appearances. They bring in a lot of players that they drop down that'll come in for a game or two or don't play often. But Rayo's in, you know, 12 out of their 14 games. So he's more than likely going to be here on Tuesday and someone that we should keep an eye on.
Yeah, well, I think historically, Jaquel has been someone we have to keep an eye on. And I want to mention, is it Kudzu? Kudzu?
Yeah.
Yeah, Kudzu, I think is how they say it.
Kudzu. I think he's looking pretty sharp. Waldeck is someone else we got to keep an eye on. But I don't know if – okay, if we play like we played Tuesday and with that much – and again, yes, part of it was we were playing North Carolina. But if we play with that much confidence going into it, I think we might be able to overpower him.
Yeah, they're – I feel like the two games that we've played in North Texas, these guys have been held in check that we want to keep an eye on. They're guys that we can contain if we play our game. And, you know, the way that they were moving the ball and finding space against North Carolina is not anything that we saw them do in the two games in North Texas. So if they keep that level of intensity on the offensive end, I think it's a game where we create a lot of chances. Whereas the last two games where we played them in Texas, they've been hard to break down. You know, it was a 1-0 win and a 1-1 draw where we scored literally the last second.
So I know I missed you guys talking about the North Carolina match. Yeah, I wouldn't say I missed it about the North Carolina match. But did you guys cover the change in our left back? And I felt that was a I thought we were much stronger defensively all around by not worrying about our left back. Does that make sense?
So, yeah, Capizucci was over on the left in place of Jonathan Esparza. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was just kind of a general rotation, maybe a chance. Esparza's played every game for him to have a night off. But I do think he did really well, and that back four was very sound defensively on Tuesday. I would agree.
Yeah. And so if we play now, again, we've always had an offensive threat. We don't always finish our chances, but we're always creating chances. But if we have a solid defense like we had Tuesday night, I think they're going to find it very difficult to break us down.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that the thing for me is I think a lot of these changes were somewhat, I don't want to say forced, but we didn't bring our normal team. Like we brought a very different team. I don't know if it was for rest or for something else, but that's not our normal team that was out there. And I expect a lot of changes to actually happen. Most specifically, I don't think you're going to see Rowe get another start on Tuesday. There was nothing massively impressive, in my opinion, about his play in this game to warrant another start, unless it's a matter of players are just not available.
Well, to be blunt, after his reaction after the previous match, where, yes, I know that there was some activity happened to him and he was responding, and maybe someone should have gotten a card, but Rowe's response and the pushing, we got really lucky he did not get a red card, because he could have gotten one after the fact. Having said that, I was not happy having him in the lineup. I like Rowe personally, but after that performance and then getting a start in the next match, I'm just worried about the message that sends.
Yeah, I don't know that there was much of a choice as far as sending a message. But here again, you know, on the super slow-mo replay, you saw that he did get hit in the face.
Right, yes.
As he fouled the North Carolina player on a breakaway. It wasn't one of those, like, basically him getting hit, I don't think was as hard as he was rolling around on the ground holding his face. I think maybe it's an inadvertent. The player probably should get a yellow as well for having his hand up there. If it was something that looked more like an intentional punch, then maybe you argue for a red card. And all of that, you know, the yellow card that Rowe Pineda got was completely deserved, because everything else happened after he had committed that foul that he got the yellow card for. I think someone like Jimmy Villalobos or Josue España being able to rejoin the lineup in the midfield, I think is a good choice. And having Rowe come off the bench, you know, that he brings a lot of energy. And I think you guys are right. He's been bringing a lot of passion, and he needs to kind of rein that in, or he's going to find himself in a situation where he's missing games that he doesn't want to miss.
Yeah, I think I just felt like he needed a cool down period.
And I was actually surprised. I thought we would be higher up on the yellow card discipline than we have been. We're not even in the top 10. None of our players have five cumulative yet. Because we tend to get a lot of yellow cards for stupid things. And that's my thing. Like, I am all about getting what's referred to frequently as a professional yellow. You've been beat. You can grab him. It's going to stop the forwardness of play. You're not the last man, but it's definitely a buildup you don't want to be involved with. Pull the shirt, pull him back, get your yellow card. That I'm all about. But these ones that are for retaliation or getting in people's faces, I'm over it. Like, guys, you got to stop. Like, be a professional. I'm not a big fan of some of the standing over players that I've seen of late, where a player, and accurately so, is faking the crap out of it to try to get a card or get a call pulled on him. And our defenders especially tend to have a tendency, I'm not speaking directly about Ramos, but 100% Ramos, have the tendency to kind of do this, like, look down at them over top of it. And I'm like, it's only a matter of time before that becomes someone pops up and pushes, and that he doesn't have the ability, in my opinion, to control if somebody pushes him. And I don't know why we're allowing, as our coaching team and such, is allowing them to continue that type of action, because these are not good yellow cards. They're just not. And eventually it's going to bite us. And I'm going to hate it if it bites us when we got a big game coming up and we're missing a player because of it.
Well, and I think it comes down to, you may be frustrated about some of the calls that you're wanting to get that the refs aren't giving. But when they're having to constantly police those sorts of little things, you tend to erode that benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of a way, if you're just going about your business and playing the game, those calls will start to come for you. If you're constantly chirping at, you know, opponents and the referees, you're going to kind of get that reputation where people are going to not be, they're not going to be looking to give you the call. We'll put it that way.
And I wonder if you're going to miss a call because you have a reputation for calling for everything.
So this was League One's attempt at getting our lineup. They got Ricketts on the wrong side.
Yeah. Every game they have him on the wrong side.
Yeah. Which always cracks me up. But when you look at this, Who other than, we've kind of mentioned Roe already, is there anyone else on here, Alex, that you say to yourself, I expect this person to have either a super sub role or to give way to another player? And if so, who?
You know, one of the other people is Jackson, just because of how young he is. But as well as he's played, I don't see how you can take him off the field. If you have players like Ray Ortiz or Jimmy Villalobos that are available, maybe you have Markey on the bench, or if, say, Blake Frischknecht, you know, I think he missed the game probably because of some family leave, because of the birth of his child. So if he's able to rejoin the team, maybe you let him get that start and allow Rafa as well to be a guy who comes off the bench, or shift Rafa over to Markey's spot. So I think those are maybe the other two that would move back to that super sub role as opposed to the starting position.
Yeah, I was going to say Rafa is one that could come in. I think he could play either starter or come back as an impact sub. I had I didn't see as much from him on this game, but was it a case that the fact that what he was doing was allowing Ricky and Markey and Jackson to get in there?
I'd say it's possible, but I agree with you. He had a very quiet night. He came off fairly early in the second half.
Yeah.
And to know that, you know, they talk about him and wanting him to be a 90-minute player. I wonder if that's just kind of, they're going to start maybe working him in more, because he's got to be able to, you know, by the end of the season, be that 90-minute guy for us that can lead the attack.
It took a little while for Glendres to really click and to find his rhythm. And so I obviously the talent is there. Rafa has the ability to be a legend in USL League One, and certainly with the Red Wolves, but it's just not there quite yet. So I'm not sure what it is to get him out through there. So I don't know if bringing him on the bench or keeping him starting. I would love to see him start with Galindres if possible. I think that would be, that would love to see that for this match, actually.
So I think really we've discussed it from every angle. At the end here, what are our predictions?
Oh, I have to go to scores. Oh, man.
So I'll jump in first. I am going to go once again, negative Nancy, 1-1 tie.
1-1 tie.
Well, and I have us scoring first and losing in the second half. Go super negative. Losing the lead, so for a tie.
I'm going to be 2-1, and I'm going to go with, we do get behind in first, we catch up, and then at the very end we get that last goal to push it over. And this is Pollyanna optimistic, hoping to reset the balance of the universe. And I say that because we didn't even have everyone in our top player on the pitch. And look what we did this past Tuesday. Yes, it was against North Carolina, but still, we had such confidence. And if that carries over, I think we're gonna come away with a win. I'm saying 2-1 Red Wolves.
Well, I will say North Carolina's coach was coach of the month for July, so maybe we're underestimating how important that win was.
I think we're also going to be 2-1. I think a different order. I think the tacos and beer are going to have everyone excited, is going to lift us to a goal in the first half.
Is that what you're calling that noise now? Excited. Okay.
Shortly after halftime, I think they score one, and all of us have the tacos sitting in our bellies like a little lead ball eating away at us. Until Juan Galindres gives us the cardiac Red Wolves after the 80th minute.
Yeah, I think it's imperative he scores on this one. Just something about, I feel like we're going to see something that from Juan Galindres. It's gonna be a boot shaker. And you know what? I'm also going to say Markey again. Markey, it's like a shark that tasted human flesh and wants to go back at it. So.
So I think the last bit of League One news we should have before we move on is an announcement by Hailstorm. Is it SCFC?
FC. Anyway, I want to say it's FC.
The new club in Northern Colorado made an announcement about their coach, and it is former Chattanooga Red Wolf, Eamon Zide. So congrats, Eamon. We know he's a loyal watcher. I'm sure he loves checking out Soccer Chat every week. So congrats to you, and hope for great luck against everyone else in the league.
Well, I'll tell you, two of my favorite Red Wolves memories are attached to him. There's, of course, for the fans, when he jumped over the fence, he got in trouble for it, and he just jumped out and joined us. That's going to be etched in your mind. And the other one, when he's just he came on, he just literally just walked in, and by the time he finished walking in, the ball was already just scored. He didn't run; he just walked on the pitch. He just scored. Those two moments will I'm going to associate with him, and I hope he doesn't have as much success as he had with us. So
yeah, he never stopped moving. He ran from the substitution point at the midline and did not stop moving until he had headed the ball in the goal off of the corner. That was just an amazing play. And fun story, he actually did not get in trouble when he scored the goal and jumped the fence at David Stanton to celebrate with us.
Oh, okay.
A different player was given the yellow card. Leo Falla was given that yellow card, ended up having to serve a match suspension because of yellow card accumulation. So wow. If they had given Eamon the yellow, everything would have been fine because Eamon was kind of our super sub coming off the bench, didn't really pick up a lot of fouls or cards. But when they asked Captain Stephen Beattie which player to give it to, Leo was unfortunately standing too close, and he said, just give it to him, and ended up having to serve an accumulation suspension.
Wow.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Here's the bus throwing you under it.
Exactly. But all of that said, congrats, Eamon Zide. Congrats to whoever runs Hailstorm's Instagram account, because he will have you with content for days.
Well, and big part of that is because he's known in Iran as, Mr. Hat Trick, because he did a similar thing there, but even more of a legendary story where 80th minute, his team is down 2-0 and the man, and he comes on and scores a hat trick to win the game versus his team's rival in front of 80,000 fans. Yeah. So, he, and because of that, he's got a massive following, especially in that area. So good for him. But yeah.
Yeah, I understand. It is like maybe the most famous game ever played in Iran, if not the one, at least one of them. And whenever I talk to people about Eamon who know about him, they keep bringing that game up.
So, yeah, congrats to you. We look forward to beating you in the future.
So, area soccer roundup. All of our local colleges are getting ready to kick off their fall seasons. Tennessee Wesleyan women actually started at noon today and unfortunately went down to the Savannah College of Art and Design. We have UTC was playing kind of a preseason-type friendly against Jacksonville State yesterday that unfortunately was called off because of weather. But their very first regular season game is coming up next Thursday at home against Alabama Birmingham. So they play on the UTC fields that are over by the old Ingalls Stadium downtown.
Oh, and so if you came out to where the Lady Red Wolves had their scrimmage, that's the that same game, field.
Yes, it was okay. Also played on that field. And UTC Lady Soccer is free. So,
you know,
folks with kids in the academy and all that, it's a great kind of opportunity for your kids to go out and watch some quality soccer, some Division I college soccer with the ladies. Doesn't cost you anything, and you can go out and watch those games.
And we do.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, we do have some players on the Lady Red Wolves that are on that do attend UTC. So you can see them. And then
yes,
it's also a place where we do like to draw players from in the future.
So then also Bryan College, both men and women will be taking on Savannah College next Thursday. Adam gives thumbs down because his school is a rival. Lee University, they'll be starting in a couple weeks on September 2nd. As will Adams Covenant College. They'll be playing. The men and women will be playing different schools. And then the Tennessee Wesleyan men start on the same Tuesday that the Red Wolves are taking on North Texas. My alma mater, Berry College, will be playing Covenant at some point this season. But I didn't put their schedule on here because they're just a tad out of our orbit.
So they Berry will be playing at Scotland Yard on Tuesday the 14th. Okay. And I wish them luck because we have not lost in 2 years at home.
Be wow. prepared for the Viking invasion.
And you got to say, obviously I'm on the Brian side. I did grad school there, but I got to say your two schools are, I think, two of the most beautiful campuses in the South. If you get a chance to see Berry College, if you get a chance to see Covenant,
documented, we're one just of the most beautiful
absolutely
campuses.
Gorgeous. So,
yeah, we'll. I'm pretty sure we'll be at the Berry College game. Whether we'll be, broadcasting live remains to be seen. But I think we'll be making the trip up to see that match.
Very cool.
So that's local area soccer. Be checking the Soccer Chat Twitter. We're kind of trying to do what we can to share those updates for all those colleges. A lot of them have a lot of local kids from the Chattanooga Red Wolves Academy and players that feed into Dalton Red Wolves and the Lady Red Wolves, as Jeff said. So we'll try to give them some shine if we can.
There was one bit of news that it's not directly the Lady Red Wolves, but one of their teams, one of their rivals, who every time they played, Thor came out and brought his tears because we got stormed out each time we played SSA. And so there was announced that SSA is joining USLW. So that's a very close rival. So I'm pretty excited about that, guys.
Yeah, they play in the Kennesaw Marietta area of Georgia. So congrats to those ladies and welcome aboard.
All right, so let's turn our attention to world soccer. Nothing really important happened transfer-wise the last week or so, so we can probably just skip that, right? Nothing big?
Nothing happened with my team.
Did that really happen? I thought that was just one of those like crazy ones that they throw in the FIFA game that I was playing.
No. It turns out PSG now has every star in soccer, including on their bench, because there's no way to play them all. This is impossible. If you're ever playing FIFA and someone chooses PSG, you have the right to turn, punch them, and then walk out of the room, because it's ridiculous. That's all fair. I got on that. Yeah.
So we're all Premier League guys. Mm-hmm. Hey Adam, did you see the in the Super Cup? Did you see who converted his penalty? Adam, huh? Yeah, can't handle the truth, so you got to run away. So, how do you guys think your team's going to do?
Badly.
Really? They don't have anything distracting them this year.
We just sold a 21-year-old. That has a lot of promise and is one of the few players at his age to score that many goals in seven straight games. That makes sense. That's good business. Ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm hearing Chelsea might be making some more big signings. I think our biggest thing. I think our biggest is who we didn't let go. I still think we've got about three or four more signings. I'd like to see one other big name, but the fact that we still have Neves, we still have Traore is a pleasant surprise, and we're able to do business. Our biggest, though, is the return of Raul Jimenez, but I suspect the first four or five matches are going to be tough. So we're gonna have a tough time, and then once we get back from the international break, I think we're gonna do much better. But we're gonna have a first couple matches that they're gonna be rough on us.
Because this is in alphabetical order, currently Arsenal is on top, which makes me happy. But
Wolves are bottom.
I do think we will be on top after this weekend as well, because we do have the luxury of starting versus the Bees, who have never been in the Premier League before, and that should be a victory and an easy one, and hopefully puts us near the top because of goal differential. But this might be the last weekend we get to say that, because we immediately go into playing a real Premier League after that.
Yeah, we start at Leicester, and who is a lot more informed than we have been. And then our second match is hosting Tottenham at the Molineux. So the second game, the first home match, will be Nuno against Bruno. So that should be quite interesting.
Yeah. Well, that's going to make for a great storyline.
Yes, it will. Just the Nuno and Bruno. And then we get a week off with only facing Man United after that.
Do we know which Premier League team Alex is following this year? Because there are multiple Americans on different teams.
Yeah, so as I've said multiple times, I checked in because I was interested in seeing Christian Pulisic do well, and I started to enjoy the rest of the team. It's not just Christian Pulisic. That's just for trolling purposes. So I am very confident that they are going to have another top four finish. I don't really see them being top two or champions or anything like that. I'm very excited about the idea of Romelu Lukaku and a center forward that can finish in that system, things being more settled with the coach having a full season and the fact that they haven't spent like drunken sailors this year, but instead are just kind of letting these guys build some chemistry. So I'm very positive. I think it's going to be fun. I'm not going to let Adam bring me down.
I'm not trying to bring you down. I think you guys are going to be fine. I mean, you got lots of money. You're going to keep spending it. So go for it.
And Arsenal doesn't have a lot of money.
Oh, no. We have money. We just don't spend it. It all goes in Kroenke's pocket. Like, our net spend is up there, but that's because we never develop anyone to sell. It's not because we're spending. Like, we're getting outspent by Chelsea and Man City and Man U on a 2-1 or 3-1 basis, depending on which team you're looking at. But everyone always wants to talk net spin. I'm like, you can't talk net spin because we're not selling anyone because we don't develop anyone. Like because Kroenke doesn't put money into actually getting quality scouts, getting quality coaches to build these guys up. And so you got a guy who's checked out, who spends just enough money to keep him slightly competitive. And these other teams have an oil guy who this is his little baby that he spends all his oil money that he's getting because of the U.S. and their dependence on foreign oil. And yeah, it gets old, but yeah, you know. But yeah,
I've got to go crank my car. So who do you guys see as the winner? Who's going to take away the trophy this season?
Is there anyone who has a doubt on this?
Well, I say there's no doubt on the City that it's going to be in Manchester. It's probably going to be Manchester City, and I think the one is going to be the closest. And I really hate to say it with all my being, is I think going into it, I'm a little afraid of what Man United has put together, but Man City has so much momentum, and they've only added. They haven't, you know. I think that they've they have lost some key players, but I think they're still going to be favored to win.
Yeah, I have Man City probably not close. So around the rest of Europe was actually kind of a surprising year. Juventus title run came to an end. Someone besides the Spanish duopoly came away with a championship. Even PSG couldn't seal the deal in France. Do you guys see all of them reasserting themselves in their leagues? Heck, even Rangers, the first time in a decade, someone besides Celtic, yeah. Rangers took the Scottish Premier League. My favorite fun fact, the last time someone besides Rangers or Celtic won the Scottish Premier League
was when William Wallace was leading troops.
A plucky young coach by the name of the Manchester United guy.
I think it's
Alex Ferguson. He's got Alex my Ferguson. Name, and I couldn't remember it. A young, plucky coach, Alex Ferguson, with Aberdeen in 1984.
Wow.
That's were you alive, Alex?
Someone besides those two, just barely. I didn't know anything about it. So yeah, anyway, around the rest of Europe, do you guys pretty much see those, you know, those same clubs, Bayern Munich, PSG, Barca, Real?
Well, if PSG does not run away with it,
with everything,
it would be hilarious. And, but I just can't see that. I do think Bayern Munich is still going to be the strongest. I think you're going to see some others move up in the Bundesliga, but I'm hoping my FC Köln does better. But I think Bayern Munich is still going to be the favorite. I do think there is going to be a vacuum in Spain. I think Barcelona is starting to implode. And I wonder if Sevilla is going to be stepping up to that next level.
Italy's another one.
Not,
that you keep
not to
an
win
eye
it,
on.
But to move up. Yeah.
But Inter just won, and now they're pulling a Miami Marlins and apparently having a fire sale. So I think there's a decent chance that Juventus ends up back up top there with a lot of the quality that they have. AC Milan, Atalanta, I don't think any of them are really going to challenge them. So is there any European dark horse, any, you know, club that you guys are thinking, gosh, they may make a run? I really don't see anyone. Ajax is someone that everyone knows. You wouldn't consider them a dark horse, even though they're from a smaller league.
No,
not really. Not to go all the way. I think you're going to see some in their leagues. I think you're going to see some teams go above their usual weight class, because this is a year that there's been so much financial instability, especially in Spain and Italy, that there's going to be some regrouping and someone going to take advantage. But at the end of the day, I think it's when we look at the Champions League, we look at the last few, I think it's going to be the same usual suspects.
All right. That's Europe. Games start on Saturday. You know who else starts on Saturday? Our friends from Biggleswade. Biggleswade Town, Biggleswade FC, having their first league games of the season. Biggleswade United, unfortunately, they are off to a bit of a salty start. They are 0-3 to start the season out of the FA Cup extra preliminary round. They've lost the first couple games here of their league season with games on the Tuesdays. And the thing that is really kind of disheartening, they're getting thumped. It is like Alex playing FIFA on easy in these games. I think 5 goals is the fewest they've surrendered. So they're a little dispirited. Biggleswade, we want to pick you up. We love you guys, and we know that this is gonna, you know, it's gonna sort itself out, but this is where their transfer from Spartan South Midland League to United Counties has really hurt them. They've had to a club that they've spent a lot of time building up to be a promotion contender pretty much got decimated when they had to change leagues and a lot of those players left. And now they're having to kind of rebuild from scratch. They were in such a rush to try to get players. They couldn't play a lot of preseason games. And I think that's a lot of what you're seeing. These guys are still learning each other, trying to figure things out as they've kind of been thrown together right for the start of the season. So stuff will get better. Things are looking up. Guillaume Balangue, their chairman, is sending out positive vibes only. So we're gonna echo those. And so Biggleswade United, send us some kits, and don't give up hope.
When that light went on just now for Adam, orange. It looked like you've turned on the tanning light right now, and you're getting ready for the rest of summer. This is Alex. How about you? Okay.
Oh, well done.
That's really all I got.
Well, on that note,
bye. Hey, Adam. So you get to join us in that second round of the Carabao Club Cup this time. So you get an extra game in the EFL Cup. An exciting year. You get to play West Brom. Isn't that going to be great?
So the only thing that could be better than that is playing in the third level of a European tournament, and then eventually winning that and claiming that as my first trophy in 40 years. Oh wait, no, I'm not a Tottenham fan.
Okay.